seemed inappropriate in a public company or sent the wrong message, the more prompted I felt to maintain checks and balances on his authority, and to get involved myself. It was a negative cycle that fed on itself. Evidently, as part of these checks and balances, Eisner encouraged even those executives who nominally reported to Ovitz to bypass him and consult with Eisner. After the Brad Gray incident, Joe Roth regularly consulted Eisner without informing Ovitz. As Ovitz later testified, Eisner advised Larry Murphy, who was then head of strategic planning, who reported to me, who I held a weekly meeting with his entire staff, to do nothing that I suggested and to report everything in the meeting back to him. Dean Valentine, who was head of television, told me that Mr. Eisner told him that even though he reported to me, that he should not do what I said and he should consider his channel to Mr. Eisner open. At another point in the draft of his book, Eisner accuses Ovitz of suffering from fierce insecurity. In an almost manic desire to prove himself at Disney, he sacrificed the humility, patience, and openness that are necessary to learn any complicated new job. Instead, from the first day, Ovitz focused nearly all of his attention on the same things that had always worked for him successfully before, orchestrating high-profile deals, focusing on his image, and cultivating the visible trappings of power. Despite their long friendship, or perhaps because of it, Eisner failed to communicate the depth and intensity of these feelings to Ovitz himself, much as he had so long concealed his feelings about Katzenberg. The Eisners and Ovitzes continued their social lives together. Jane Eisner and Judy Ovitz remained best friends. They spent time together at Aspen and in Los Angeles. Indeed, given what Eisner did say, it's no wonder that Ovitz felt Eisner still valued his friendship as highly as ever. In an October 20, 1995 letter to board members, Bass family, and Jane, Eisner showered Ovitz with extravagant praise. Michael Ovitz joined me in Paris. Let me just say right here, boy, are we lucky. Even though he is going to read this letter, and I do not want to encourage him too much, I want something to continue to do in the company. His coming to Disney was a great coup for us, and a saving grace for me. Everybody is excited being with him, doing business with him, enjoying his energy and knowledge, sense of humor and enthusiasm. He comes with training and experience in the business we are in, and has quickly gone from deal maker to program maker who understands the deal. He has already run a private company, and being a quick study, has quickly adapted to the public institution. As Thanksgiving 1995 approached, John Lasseter at Pixar was working feverishly to put the finishing touches on Toy Story, the fledgling studio's first feature-length computer-generated film. After Katzenberg's departure from Disney, the project had nearly died once again. Although Lasseter had embraced Katzenberg's suggestion for a buddy picture, Katzenberg had been encouraging him to make the story darker, edgier. After a disastrous test screening near San Francisco, Peter Schneider had pulled the film from the release schedule and insisted that Lasseter and his staff rework it. Lasseter didn't object. He felt the movie had been drifting further and further from the film he wanted to make. When Lasseter returned with the revised version, Schneider and Thomas Schumacher were so excited